The story of the man healed at the Gate Beautiful, as we find it in Acts chapter 3, is one of those which it makes me wonder. Does it make you wonder? Is it one of those interesting stories about healing? Because I'm always interested in healing. I'm always interested in that sense in which God has touched the lives of some people and in them has brought about healing. I'm also interested in the fact that in some people's lives, God has not brought about healing. And I wonder, it makes me wonder. And I wonder sometimes when we have stories like this in the Acts of the Apostles, what this is supposed to say to us. What kind of signal is this showing to us? What kind of sign is this for us as believers? Those of you who were in the meeting 2 weeks ago will have clearly remembered Major Susan's message. I wasn't there, but I read the script, so it's okay. When she talked about the way in which community met together and grouped together, those early day Christians came together. Do you remember she spoke about the fact that, past tense, they used to, for a time, they used to sell all they had. They used to give to one another. And in that way, they supported one another. And I'm reminded of it when I see these SDV, these self-denial videos that we see week by week at the moment in the lead up to our annual appeal for that great fundraising event. And as we see into the lives of another community, so we see that God is using our giving to support other people in their work as they seek to put themselves back on their feet again. Do you remember? Not a handout, but a hand up. In Gloucester, the city of Gloucester, we have fairly recently welcomed a new charitable initiative called Having a Voice in Gloucester. And some of our friends who are part of the Rotary Club of Gloucester were instrumental in bringing that to be. And one of their catch lines is, a hand up, not a hand out. And I was put in mind when I was talking to one of the instigators of that new charity of the fact that back many, many years ago, William Booth wrote the book In Darkest England and The Way Out. Some of you will be familiar with that particular work. And you will know that within it, the front page of the book, you unfold a poster. The poster shows a scene. Oh, let me paint it verbally for you. There is a lighthouse. There is a stormy sea. There are vicious rocks around. And there are people struggling in that sea. And to each side, towards the front of the image, there are members of the Salvation Army reaching down to rescue people from that sea of despair. A sea of despair which is named with many different aspects of society as it was in Booth's day and still are very relevant for our society today. Giving a hand up, not a hand out. You see, when Peter and John, and you'll recall a couple of weeks ago that the life of the community of new believers in Jesus, they were people who would meet together in their homes to share meals, but they would also worship regularly in the temple. And so this is not a one-off occasion when Peter and John go to the temple. This is not once in a lifetime. I tried a once in a lifetime experience, never again. It's an old joke and it's not mine, but it's just to try and keep you on side. Okay. Peter and John were regularly going to the temple. They regularly walked past that way. They regularly came through Beautiful Gate. They regularly saw the beggars. They would have seen this man. This man who Scripture tells us was lame from birth. Every day he was carried by his friends and placed there, his only means of income. Like those ladies in Ouagadougou that we saw in the video, their only means of income was the kindness and the generosity of others. And this man looked to everyone that passed by. It doesn't take a genius to actually translate that image into the image that we see on every street near enough of every city in our country, and even on the front doorstep of our own Salvation Army Hall here in Gloucester. And if we are not very careful, we begin to miss the humanity and just see the suffering. We begin to miss the person and just focus on the situation. And I believe that through this story, as it unfolds here, God is telling us that we have to go into our community and interface with our community. You know, our disciples here, Peter and John, remember, would have spent 3 years following Jesus. They would have gone along with him. They would have walked the walk with Jesus. They would have known him. They would have seen him. They would have observed how he did things. And what I want to do, just for a couple of minutes, is to revisit this story of Peter and John and see how that reflects their experience of being with Jesus. They were on their way to the temple. Now, here's a bit of a quiz this morning. Going up to the temple, which of the parables of Jesus talked about people? I'm going to come down here a minute. I'm going to ask these very intelligent training band members. Which parable of Jesus talked about men going up to the temple? Can you remember a parable that Jesus taught where there was a priest and a Levite going up to the temple? And what did they find on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho? They met a man who had been... Sorry, look up.
Is it the Good Samaritan?
It is the Good Samaritan. Spot on, well done. Give the man a bag of Haribo when you find one. They were going up to the temple. Is it too remote to think that they were thinking, hang about a minute, do you remember that story Jesus told? They were going up to the temple and they, the priest and Levite, refused to help that poor man. Let it not be said of us. Let it not be said of the disciples of Jesus that we walk by on the other side when we can actually do something. The next thing that they did is engaging in this man in conversation is they would have reflected on how Jesus actually dealt with people who were in that situation. Do you know the story, again in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter? Do you know the story? Familiar with it? He goes into the room with Peter and James and John. And what does he do? Come on, this is not a rhetorical question. What did Jesus do physically when he raised Jairus' daughter? He took her by the hand. Took her by the hand, lifted her up. Lifted her up. Lifted her up. What did Peter and John do to the man at Gate Beautiful? They bent down to where he was and they lifted him up. They took him by the hand. The influence of Jesus being part of our lives must be reflected in our actions towards others. And just as they looked at this man, of course, he wanted money because that's all he knew. He didn't realize that there was a greater gift that would lead him into a greater experience of life. And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus to his disciples when they came into Jericho and they found a little man up a sycamore tree. Do you remember him? You can sing the chorus if you don't know the name. Zacchaeus was a very little man. And when Jesus had met with Zacchaeus and said, the words he used were this: salvation has come to this house today because, what was the next line? Can you remember? This man too is a son of Abraham. This man as well is a son of Abraham. You look at him, what do you see? You see a tax collector. You see somebody who is removed and remote. You see somebody who we don't want anything to do with. You see somebody who is untouchable. See beyond, my friends, see beyond. Do you remember when Princess Diane Spencer, Lady Diane Spencer, later Princess Diane, went out to those who had AIDS? Took them by the hand, hugged them, showed that those whom society had rejected, those whom society said were beyond any help, she embraced them. You think of Mother Teresa out in the slums of Calcutta, dealing day by day with those who were sick, those who were poor, those who were sorely in need. She wasn't afraid to touch and to lift and to hold and to comfort. And so when we see the story here of the two disciples at the gate of the temple who are there impelled by their relationship and their knowledge of the way that Jesus operated to try and emulate him. For Jesus himself had said, now remember this, I am going to my Father, but you will do the same as I'm doing. In fact, you will do even greater things than I do because I go to my Father. My dear friends, only as I truly know thee can I make thee truly known. Only bring the power to others which in my own life is shown. It's only when we have that knowledge and relationship and daily walk with Jesus that we can then emulate him in society. As we interface with our community, 2 weeks ago we saw the Christian church moving slightly away from its locked upper room into that kind of community in which it was comfortable with each other. And now we see them going into the streets around where they lived. Now there's a lot of good work done from this Salvation Army Corps, as there is in many others, churches, Salvation Army Corps up and down the country, around the world, where people are trying their best to serve their communities in all kinds of ways, and we applaud it. But we want to do it so that people may rejoice that they are numbered too amongst those whom God loves. Only as I truly know thee can I make thee truly known. My dear friends, get to know Jesus more and more each day so that in your life, in your circumstance, in your place, in your situation, you can help someone else. Maybe not a miracle of healing, but a help up, a hand up, not a hand out.